All right, we are going to now switch to digging into some scripture and continuing a sermon series this morning. We're continuing to look at the life of Joseph. And Joseph is a very helpful narrative account. We've seen how in this story, Joseph was, and it's not just a story, it's a historical narrative in the book of Genesis. Joseph is a real person. He was the favorite son of his father Jacob. That caused a whole bunch of trouble with his brothers who hated him because of that. They were filled with jealousy and bitterness, and so they hated their younger brother because their father favored him. We've seen how they captured him and they sold him to slave traders who then took him to Egypt and sold him as a slave. We've seen how they tried to cover that up by dipping his coat in blood and trying to convince and successfully convincing their dad that he had been attacked and eaten by wild animals. And then last week, the last time that we saw Joseph is when he had just become a slave in Egypt and had been sold to Potiphar. And so as we've looked at this story, we have looked at some of the things that God does in the midst of difficult and painful situations that we go through in life. We've talked, first of all, about God's sovereign goodness, how God is in control and he's carrying out his good purposes in this world, even when we go through difficult and painful situations. We have also seen how God is with us in the midst of the struggles. He doesn't just stand on the sidelines and watch us and kind of root for us or just observe and test and see how we're going to do. No, he's in the struggle with us. He's alongside us. He's actually in us. We're united with him in a bond that's unlike anything we even know. He is with us in the struggle, in the battle. He was with Joseph and he is with us. And today what we're going to do is talk about our response in these situations. We've seen some of the things that God does, but today I want to look at what our response is in these situations. Think about what it is. Think about maybe what God desires for our response to be, because it not only has an effect on us, how we respond to difficult situations, but it has an effect on everybody around us as well. I want to talk about animals for a little while. God's created some amazing creatures on this planet. One of the things that's amazing about them is what they do to protect themselves. So they're defense mechanisms. I found some articles online that describe animal defense mechanisms. I got a few pictures up here. So here's the opossum or the possums. I just saw one dead in the middle of the road this week, and now I'm not so sure if it was dead because the defense mechanism of an opossum is to play dead. But it's interesting, I learned this week, they don't do this on purpose. It's an involuntary response, kind of like fainting. When they play dead, they bare their teeth, they foam at the mouth, and they secrete a fluid that gives off a bad smell. So anything that comes around, it looks and smells very much like it's dead, and it can stay that way for a few minutes or a few hours. So it's just fascinating. Turkey vultures. I was wondering if Rachel Justice, maybe she's watching online. This is her favorite bird. Turkey vultures. Okay, they have one of the most disgusting defense mechanisms I've ever heard of. So if you see them on the side of the road feasting on a dead carcass and you want to get a picture, make sure you stay away from them, because if they feel threatened, they're able to vomit the putrid contents of their stomachs up to 10 feet away in order to keep from being disturbed. So keep your distance. Skunks. As we all know, we know what their defense mechanisms are. They actually, before it gets to that stage, they try to deter predators by first hissing and stomping their feet. Has anybody heard that? Okay. And then by arching their backs and lifting their tails, and by that time, if you're not getting a clue that you better get out of there, you're in trouble, because then they spray. And they actually are specially equipped with glands that can be aimed precisely to direct their spray, which can reach distances of 10 feet or more. Amazing. A turtle. Okay, a turtle defends itself, of course, by shrinking into its shell, which is usually big enough and round enough to make it really hard for a predator to bite it and fit it in its mouth. I read about monarch caterpillars. They're actually poisonous to their predators. If a predator bites them, they're poisonous. A fish, we know fish have scales. A porcupine has quills. And then there's this fascinating creature, human beings. Okay, you and I have all kinds of different defense mechanisms that we've learned when we go through difficult times and we face danger. And in some ways, we resemble the animals we just looked at. So sometimes we freeze up and play dead almost, and we can't do anything. We're paralyzed by fear or the pain. Sometimes we spew putrid things out of our mouths, bitterness and anger and accusation. Sometimes we pull into a shell and we try to hide. Sometimes we harden ourselves like a fish with its scales and we put up walls. And sometimes we shoot quills like a porcupine by attacking or accusing people. Okay, things often get ugly when we're going through difficult times. And as I think about Joseph and the difficulties he faced and how that relates to our lives, when we go through difficult times, we know that God is doing what he's doing, but oftentimes our responses get pretty ugly. We've learned how to cope and survive by using all kinds of protective natural responses, things that just like these animals, they're natural responses that drive people and therefore drive danger away, even people who aren't a threat to us often. And when we respond like that, people don't see anything different in us than anyone else. They might know you're a follower of Christ, but if we respond to painful circumstances the same way everyone else does, then there's no difference in what they see. They don't see any evidence that we believe in a sovereign God who works all things out for our good. They don't see that we believe in a God who is with us in the midst of the pain that we're going through. Even though God's like that, the way that we respond might not show it. And so I want us to think about, how do you respond when you go through difficult things happening in your life? Okay, we've probably all had some examples recently of difficult situations we've gone through. How have you responded? How are you responding right now to the difficult situations you're going through? Are you turning into more like one of those animals that we looked at? What does that look like? Today we're going to look at some of the very difficult situations that Joseph went through. And we're going to see what happened. We're going to see how he responded, what happened in those situations. And my hope is that as we look at these things, that they'll help us to learn to respond to painful situations, not by fear and defense mechanisms, but by faith and trusting God. That's my hope for this morning. Where we pick up on Joseph's story is right after he was sold as a slave in Egypt to Potiphar. And we're going to start in Genesis chapter 39, so you can go there in your Bibles. A man named Potiphar bought Joseph when he got to Egypt. Potiphar, as we saw last week, was the captain of Pharaoh's bodyguard, and he was also in charge of executing condemned criminals. What is going to happen to Joseph now? Okay, most of us already know this story, but try to unremember that for a little while. Think of his situation that he's in. Man, terrible situation. What is going to happen to Joseph? How is he going to respond to this agonizing situation? I want to read the first part of Genesis chapter 39 up through the first half of verse 6. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, which is what we looked at last week. The Lord was with him, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Okay, this is really amazing. Okay, when you read through these Bible stories that you've heard before, sometimes you can just skip through them and, oh yeah, that's what happened to Joseph. But if you really think about it, what's going on here is incredibly significant. Joseph goes from being the favored son of a wealthy herder to being sold as a slave in Egypt. So he's a piece of property chained up, being sold as a piece of property, and the man that owned him killed people for a living. So if you are in Joseph's shoes, I imagine you're thinking, this is really, really, really bad, what's going on. Think about how he felt when he was in that caravan after being sold, and he's traveling those miles to Egypt. Think about when he gets to Egypt, I don't even know where he was, but chained up somewhere, awaiting the slave market. Think about when he sees the king's executioner bidding for him, and he gets bought. He's in a tough situation. His owner is also an Egyptian, which meant that this guy worships all kinds of gods. The Egyptians were polytheistic, so he worshiped all kinds of false gods. He did not worship Joseph's God, Yahweh, the one true God. Okay? Tough situation. You'd expect in that kind of situation that all of these natural defense mechanisms of Joseph's are going to be rising to the surface and come out. You'd expect quills of bitterness against his brothers for what they had done, or God for allowing that to happen and the timing of everything so that he didn't get rescued from, well, he probably didn't know that, but anyways, how could you let this happen to me, God? How could my brothers do this to me? Quills of bitterness you'd expect. You'd expect resistance to come firing out. Like, he's being sold as a slave in Egypt. These are the bad guys. These are the polytheistic worshipers of all kinds of different gods. And so you'd think he'd be resisting them and rebelling against them and causing trouble. How could he serve a pagan like Potiphar? But we see here he didn't rebel. I think that's very noteworthy. He didn't rebel. He didn't resist. He served Potiphar, and he served him well. He served him so well that Potiphar took notice, and he put him in charge of everything in his house. This was like the best servant, the best slave that Potiphar had. Joseph was in charge, and he was a slave. It's supposed to be the other way around. The owner is supposed to be in charge of the slave and other people in the house, but the slave's in charge of everything in the house except the owner. Potiphar was so impressed by what he saw in Joseph, and he was so impressed by the success that Joseph brought him that he elevated him to the highest position in his estate. Just remarkable what happens here. Joseph's response, I want you to see, his response, we aren't told many details, but you can kind of see what's going on here. His response made a huge difference in his situation. The solid assumption here is that Joseph, as he's going through this terrible situation, had exemplary character and a willing attitude. I don't think it's a stretch to assume those things based on what happens. He wasn't controlled by fear and bitterness. Because of his situation, he was trusting the Lord. And you see that as you look further into Joseph's story. He was able to overcome the pain and the darkness in his circumstances and let his light shine for the Lord, such that his owner knows very clearly that Yahweh, Joseph's God, is bringing him success because of what he saw in Joseph. He recognized Joseph's God was blessing Joseph, and through that blessing was also blessing him, Potiphar. And so even though Joseph was in this extremely difficult situation, it didn't destroy him. He didn't turn into a porcupine or a skunk. He trusted the Lord and was able to overcome and live a life of integrity that became a blessing then to the people around him. I want to note here, that doesn't mean that this wasn't ever a struggle for him. I fully believe that he struggled when he was in that caravan, when he was chained and awaiting being sold. I fully believe he was struggling. You look through the stories of the most faithful people in Scripture, and you, in other cases, you read about their struggles, intense struggles, doubts. Am I going to make it through this? God, where are you? Somebody reminded me yesterday of the Psalms. You read David's Psalms, and he starts out a lot of them like, what is going on? Are you not going to help me? Do you not see what I'm going through? By the end, it's different, okay? I fully believe that Joseph struggled in here. God's people struggle. That doesn't mean that you're not faithful if you doubt and you go through struggles when you're in painful situations. But what seems to happen And what seems to have happened with Joseph is that by God's grace and his faithful presence in Joseph's life, Joseph was able to get to the place where he could trust God in the midst of what he was going through, and he could move forward. It made me think of Paul. So oftentimes Philippians 4, 11 through 13, especially verse 13, is misquoted, but I think it's appropriate in this situation. Paul went through all kinds of difficult situations. He has a list of them in one of the places, in one of the letters that he wrote. I think it's in 1 or 2 Corinthians. But he writes this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, writing this while he's in prison. He says this, I've learned in whatever situation, and note that, I have learned in whatever situation I am in, I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So Paul went through difficult situations, and I fully believe that he struggled in those situations, but through the struggle, he learned to trust in the Lord. He learned that his strength was going to come from one place, and that was Jesus. And I believe that Joseph struggled too, but he also learned because God was with him, God's Spirit was in him, and he learned through that difficulty that he could trust God, even when things were going bad. And because of that, God could bless him in the midst of that situation, and he could use him to be a blessing to others. Now, as Joseph's story continues, there's a major plot twist that happens now with Potiphar's wife, or because of Potiphar's wife. So major change here because of what happens that's followed then by basically a repeat of what we just saw, only with different details. So I want to read about that. These aren't going to be up on the screen until kind of the end of this passage because it's a pretty long, but just listen to this. I'm reading you a story. Here we go. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and after a time his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house. And he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as he spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day when he went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house." Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home, and she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came into me to laugh at me, but as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house." As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. Take note, who was kind of in charge of that prison and the executioner of those bodyguards. We'll talk about that later. And now on the screen, and pay close attention to these verses, 21 through 23. But the Lord was with Joseph. Again, brought that up last week. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Sound kind of familiar? If you swap out the scene and the characters, you have exactly the same situation that happened before. You have somebody who sins against Joseph, And he ends up in a terrible situation, not an account based on the evidence we have in front of us of anything that Joseph did, but because of the sins of other people, he's in a terrible situation. He was upright and obedient to God, and this time it landed him in prison. And so now he goes from favored slave to prisoner. But again, it didn't destroy him, as you saw in these verses. There's some details I want to point out here that demonstrate how God was with him, and I alluded to them a little bit or hinted at them. So in Egypt, if a slave tried to assault an Egyptian woman, that slave would be put to death. And so Joseph should have been executed. And as I hinted to, you know who was the one who would have executed him? Potiphar. Potiphar was in charge of executions. That was his job. But notice that Joseph wasn't executed. And a lot of the commentators suggest that's probably not by accident. It's probably because the very man whom Joseph had supposedly sinned against was also supposing to execute him, but he didn't, because he probably knew that Joseph wasn't guilty. So how did that work out? If anybody else was in charge of executions, Joseph would be dead. He would have been killed, whether he was actually guilty or not. But because Potiphar was the executioner and likely suspected that Joseph was innocent, he was not put to death. Okay? God was in this whole thing again. God was in this whole thing, and Joseph continued then to trust him. Now, did he struggle? I'm sure he did. Did he have any sleepless nights as he wondered why in the world God was letting him go through this again? Did he suffer from going from that high position to the low position? I'm sure he suffered. I'm sure he wrestled with God and wondered what was going on. But was he overcome with bitterness and resentment? And did he become like a skunk or a porcupine to the people around him? No, he didn't. He didn't. By God's grace, he had learned to trust him again. And because of that, God's blessings flowed on him. He was blessed in prison. And then through him, he was a tremendous blessing to the people around him. And he pointed people to God. Amazing story here. And now I just want us to think about our own lives and the struggles that we go through. You have been through tough times, very likely, unless you're really young, maybe not yet. But if you're older, you've been through tough times and you've been through disappointing circumstances. Probably not as bad as Joseph, but you've maybe worse in some cases, but you've had your fair share of struggles. And we need to examine what has our responses been. I don't expect any of us to say, well, it's been pretty good, you know, it's been perfect. No, that would probably be a lie, okay? The reality for Joseph and for us is that our responses have been probably pretty ugly at times. At least they start out that way. And those defense mechanisms, those quills, that stench, that bitterness comes out. Okay, we can all expect that there are going to be intense doubts and struggles when we go through those tough times, but in those times, have we hardened, continued to harden ourselves so we can try to protect ourselves, or have we come to the Lord and said, I don't get it, but you're all I have, and I trust you? Amen. Have we allowed ourselves to be vulnerable before the Lord when we're hurting? Have we allowed ourselves to, just to cry before the Lord as we're struggling, but to trust Him and to trust His promises? We've all been through those tough times. How do we respond? I believe that if we soften our hearts before the Lord and we trust Him like Joseph did, that God will bless us in the midst of the struggles, and He will use us to be a blessing to others in those situations. But we have to trust Him. We have to trust him. If we don't trust him and we put up the walls and we shoot the quills and that, then when people look at us, they're not going to be blessed. We're gonna be tough to be around. We're going to turn people away from the Lord. But if we trust him, he can use us, he can bless us, and then he can use us to be a blessing to others and shine light on Jesus. You know, you don't have to shove Jesus down people's throats, and you shouldn't. But if you trust him in the midst of life's ups and downs, you're shining your light for Jesus. You're showing the people around you that you have something that is extremely valuable. So as we sing our closing songs this morning, I encourage you to take some time, as I've been preaching up here, as we've been looking at Joseph, if you realize that you've become bitter and hardened toward God, you know, not just that you've struggled and doubted, that's going to happen, but if you've gone beyond that and you've hardened your heart and you've become bitter toward God and toward others, because of what you've gone through, I encourage you to confess that to God during these songs. Just take time to be with him. You don't have to stand if you don't want to. You don't have to sing if you're not ready to. Just take some time to confess those things to God. Pour out your heart to him. Ask him to help you to see his goodness again and to experience his presence like we talked about last week. Ask him to help you to experience him so that you can trust him again. Ask him to fill you with his Spirit so that you overflow with the fruit of the Spirit, that instead of pain and bitterness and anger, you overflow with love and joy and peace and patience toward people and gentleness and faithfulness and kindness and self-control. Trust that he'll be able to bless you through the difficulties and use you as a blessing to others. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this encouraging story that we've seen this morning. Thank you for the encouragement that you bring through your word, that you are sovereign, that you are good, that you are with us, that you will even bless us and use us to be a blessing to others as we go through the difficult situations that we face in this life. You didn't promise that this life would be easy. You promised the opposite, that this life would be difficult, that we would suffer, but you also promised that you would be with us. You promised to bless us through the suffering. And Father, I pray that you would use the people of East Lincoln to shine light on you by the way that we respond when we're going through trials and suffering. Lord, for each one of us in our individual situations, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Maybe that's during these songs now, or maybe that's in quiet moments later today or tomorrow morning or whenever. But Father, I pray that you would give us each that time to just sit before you. And if we're struggling and if we're frustrated and if we want to become hard, I pray that you would soften our hearts once again. Show us that you can be trusted. Bring us the help that we need in fellowship and support from other believers as well, Father. Just work in each of our individual situations, I pray, to bring us to that place that Joseph was at. In Jesus' name, amen.